Glory to you, Lord Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Sisters and brothers, please be seated. Oftentimes when I preach from the lectionary, I wish the introduction to the text was something more like, well, a TV show with a continuing plot to remind us of last week's reading and put today's reading maybe in a better context. I don't know, one of my favorite shows is Blue Bloods. Maybe something like this from Blue Bloods. Previously on Blue Bloods, Erin has been given a promotion in the DA's office, but finds herself in a challenging situation when both Danny and Jamie ask her to help with their investigations. Suppose we did something like that with the gospel lesson. If today's readings had a similar introduction, it might go like this. Previously in Luke, a man who had been part of a gathered crowd comes up to Jesus and asks him to settle a dispute with his brother about an inheritance. Jesus says, "Who am I to resolve this dispute between you and your brother?" But the man gets more from Jesus than he bargained for because Jesus tells him this parable about the rich fool. You may recall about a man who has so much stuff that his barns aren't big enough to hold it all, so he decides he's going to tear them down and build bigger barns to hold all the stuff that he's got in anticipation of all the other stuff he's going to amass for himself during the course of his lifetime. So he builds these bigger barns, and he sits back and says, "This is cool. Now I can relax and be merry and eat and drink." And the Lord says, "You fool, today your life is required of you. Who's going to get all that stuff in your barns? It's not going to be you." One's life does not consist of the abundance of possessions, Jesus says. And he chastises the crowd around him and says, "So it will be with those of you who store up treasure for yourselves on earth, but are not rich toward the things of God." Now, for all of us who may be middle-class Americans, we may not be storing stuff in big barns anymore, but we are often focused on well-managed, nicely funded retirement accounts with really good yields. Jesus' words have a bit of sting to it for us, I think. They beg the questions, what am I storing up for myself? And am I becoming rich in the things of the kingdom of God, the things that matter to God? Have you ever been asked this question? I think we almost always, almost all of us have been asked at one time or other. If your house was burning down, or if there was an earthquake and your house was collapsing, and you had to go back in and you could only get one thing out of your house, what would that one thing be? Well, let's assume that your beloved family and your dear pets are already safe and far away from danger, what is the one thing that you might endanger yourself to go back into the house to get? I know what the answer would be for me. It would be my G7 Dell laptop, because on my computer is just about everything I've written for the last little while, and it's got all the pictures of my family, all of those wonderful family events that we've cherished over the years. That's what's on my laptop. That's where I would get it. And I think if most of us were to ask that question of ourselves, what we would go back into the house for, what would be the one thing that we would get, we might find that it's not the most expensive thing that we own, but rather the things that have the greatest emotional value to us, things of the heart, things that represent those we love, and things that carry a recollection of our life's most cherished memories. But my friends, and praise God for this, rarely are we in situations where we have to choose that one important thing. But even so, when I look at all my stuff, besides my Dell G7 laptop, I look at all my stuff and I wonder, what am I really storing up for myself? Our text for today is from the same chapter of Luke as last week's session, and it pretty much has the same theme to it, but there is an intervening text that is not, that stands between last week's text and this week's text, and I just want to read that for you. It'll probably be familiar to you. Jesus says, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and they have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. Do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you." And then with verse 32 begins today's lesson, "Do not be afraid, little flock." Jesus assures us, his flock, that we need not be enslaved to worry and anxiety about our future. He urges us not to strive after the things that the rest of the world is spending its time going after. God already knows what we need. God assures us that he loves us. He treasures us. He has our back. And those things that we really need, our daily bread, if you will, well, they're ours. All we have to do is ask for them. In a few minutes, we'll pray that prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Instead, Jesus says, strive first for God's kingdom. Put your time and energy and resources in doing God's work, and everything else will fall into place. Jesus said, it is God's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. And that's a strong emphasis. God not only wants us to get his kingdom, it is his good pleasure to give it to us. Sell your possessions, Jesus says. Give to the poor. Seek heavenly treasure that has lasting value. Don't run blindly after the shiny, wonderful things that this world offers us in commercials and in all of the ads we see on TV, because those things that are bright and shiny today may be just fit for the landfill tomorrow. Jesus says, Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let me repeat that. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. My friends, this short verse in Scripture may be the most important barometer that we have as to the health of our Christian lives. And not because what they say, but what they don't say. What the scripture does not say is where your heart is, your treasure will be. No, it says where your treasure is, there your heart will be, there your heart will follow. The order matters. Jesus tells us to look at the evidence. As a lawyer, this rings true to me. It is the evidence presented in the courtroom that determines the truth. It is the evidence revealed by the location of our treasure, our resources, our time, and our talents that truly shows us and others and our God where our hearts are, not what we pay lip service to. So if we claim that our hearts are with the poor, the weak, the infirm, the alien, the marginalized, and the oppressed, if we say that we love our neighbors as ourselves, but what we store up, what we focus our energy and our resources on is making sure we have enough money or stuff or power or security or whatever it is, well, where we have put our treasure is in those things, and that is where our heart is, no matter what we may say to the contrary. So what do you treasure? What do you store up? To what do you devote your time and energy? What are you striving for? What are you giving your life to? Jesus tells us that it is God's good pleasure to give us his kingdom. And over the next few weeks, we'll talk more and more and expound on what Jesus means by that. But in essence, God's kingdom, God's reign on earth is the realization of God's hope, God's plan for the world, God's dream that all the people of the world might be united and see him as who he really is, their loving Father who treasures them. And a world in which all people, regardless of race, regardless of gender, regardless of their sexuality, their ethnicity, their income, or political persuasion, I might add, are restored to a familial relationship, are no longer enemies, but sisters and brothers, part of a family with God as their Father. That's God's dream for the world. And it is his good pleasure, his deepest desire that we would experience this, the joy of living fully into that kingdom, now and for all eternity. And Jesus seeks to share that vision with us. And he tells us about God's reign and God's kingdom over and over in story after story, in parable after parable. And Jesus says it is this, God's kingdom, God's reign, God's vision for the earth, for us and for you and for me, is that's the things that we should strive after. This is what we should treasure, our relationship with God as our Father and our relationship with each other, and make that real and concrete in this world. Our job is to build up God's kingdom in this world now and for eternity. Eternity. Yesterday, August 10th, was the day the church commemorates St. Lawrence, who was a deacon in the early church. At the beginning of August in the year 258, the Roman Emperor Valerian issued a decree that all bishops, that all priests, that all deacons in the Church of Jesus Christ would be put to death immediately upon sight. The Bishop of Rome, whose name was Sixtus, was captured on August 6th as he was celebrating the Eucharist, the Holy Communion that we'll celebrate in a few minutes in the catacombs of Rome, and he was executed. And after his death, the prefect, I think mayor of Rome, came to the surviving deacon after that massacre and demanded that Lawrence, that surviving deacon, turn over the riches, the treasures, the assets of the church to him, and if he did, he would spare Lawrence's life. Lawrence said, "Give me 3 days." In those 3 days, Lawrence took whatever assets of the church he could find and distributed them among the poor of Rome, giving it all away. And on the third day, rather than hightail it out of town, he came back to the prefect with a small delegation of people with him. He presented himself to the prefect, and the prefect said, "Well, Lawrence, where is the stuff that you are to bring me, the assets, the treasures of the church?" And Lawrence turned and looked at the entourage with him that consisted of the lame, the blind, the poor, and the suffering. And he turned to them and he turned to the prefect and said, "These people are the treasures of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ." And Lawrence was put to death that day. But I think there is no question that Deacon Lawrence was ready to be received into the loving arms of his master, for he had given everything he had for the sake of God's treasure. Our text this morning closes with Jesus talking about a household that is ready for God's kingdom. "Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit," Jesus says. "Be like the servants of the household who are ready to open the door and greet their master right at the moment that he comes back." But then Jesus says something truly remarkable, something astonishing. He says that the master will be so pleased with the readiness of his servants in the household, that he will serve them. Think of that. The master coming back from this long journey, and he serves his servants. Surely this can't be true. No master would do that. Well, maybe no master save one, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because that's what the kingdom of God is like. That's what it's all about, where the master is willing to serve the servant, where earthly power is turned upside down, where the wealthy, those who have, care for those who have not, where an enemy becomes the beloved, where the humbled are exalted, and where the last become the first. Friends, God has put us, his treasured people, in care of his most treasured possessions, this world, and God's vision for this world. God has made us responsible for putting that vision, that dream, into effect, living into it and building up God's kingdom to let others know how deeply they are loved by God and how he is their loving Father, and uniting all people together and bringing about reconciliation wherever there is hatred, wherever there is war, wherever there is misunderstanding or animosity. And always we do this, not on our own strength, but with the help of the Holy Spirit that is freely given to us. So let's get dressed for action. Let's make sure that all of our lamps this day are lit. When the candles on that altar are extinguished, they can be extinguished because the light goes out with you. You are the light of this world as you go out these doors to bring about God's kingdom. So also, and finally, let's make certain that the treasure that we have been given by God's grace is being invested as it should be in the kingdom of God that is to come. Amen.